Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more. More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello again. Good to see everybody. Hi. I am Scott Patterson, and this is the I Am All In podcast with iHeartRadio. Concert Interruptus.
This is episode 13, Concert Interruptus, air date February 15th, 2001. Lorelai gives Rory, Paris, Madeline, and Louise tickets to a Bengals concert, but the evening doesn't go quite as planned.
Oh my God, what an episode. Huh? Rummage sales and heartbreak and hoodies with zippers with spangles and emeralds all over them that evoked Elle McPherson memories and the bangles and bad guys that were into girls. They didn't know whose age they were.
And that's Brandon Routh.
There he was, Superman, as a baby, as a little bit part in one of the episodes of the iconic series. Who knew? Could anybody have predicted that Brandon Routh, trying to lead Madeline and Louise astray in a New York City apartment with maybe a spiked drink or maybe about to spike a drink, would become Superman? Isn't Hollywood strange? Wow, strange.
I know. Strange. I mean, that's what's kind of fascinating. And as we go through the episodes, so many people guest starred on this show.
So many. John Hamm.
I know. Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it. I know he's coming. I can't wait.
Well, no, I knew that.
Well, no, I know you know, but I guess Danielle doesn't know. Doesn't know.
Oh, you didn't know.
I don't know.
Are you like living for the ham bone?
You're looking for John
I do love John Hamm. I do enjoy me some John Hamm. He's pretty great.
You know what they say? That's what they say about John Hamm.
What?
Guys, Google John Hamm eggplant and see what happens.
For the love of God, nobody Google that. Please.
For the love of
God. Everybody do it. Everybody listening.
Oh, my goodness.
But back to Brandon Routh.
The one and only. And, you know, for me, it started out slow, but it really picked up momentum. It really just caught on fire, didn't it?
Yeah.
I thought the Tristan move was a little ham-handed. Mm. Obviously, he was intentionally doing it. I didn't think he was being particularly smooth. He was so obviously being, you know, manipulative. And it just wasn't... it was just so clumsy of him to hit on Paris that way with his back turned to Rory. I mean, it was just, I don't know.
Yeah, that's an interesting whole thing going on there. But there's another Paris thing that just stands out to me in this episode the most. Mm. Do you guys have there's something that really stands out to me about this episode that I think.
Well, she said it was the best night of her life.
Yeah.
She's never had a better time. She kept looking at Rory with these puppy dog eyes. And, you know, it was her opportunity to show her vulnerability and how screwed up her family life is. And she's just completely out of control of it. And she wishes she had a friend like this. And she wishes she had a mother like this. And it's just all this envy.
She didn't go.
Yeah.
She didn't go with the other girls.
Yeah.
She stayed with Rory. And that to me was huge.
Yeah. She stayed with the Bangles.
Yeah. But she did the right thing. And she essentially picked Rory over the other girls. Mm-hmm. Now, whether it was for the right thing or because she was having a great time, because she wanted the concert, it doesn't really matter. She almost just stood up to the other girls and said, I'm not going with you.
Well, she's not, you know, she's not a trollop, right? Mm-hmm. She's got Tristan. She's hopeful. She knows she's not going to get it. You know, she's not into those, like the dumb hot guys, right? She doesn't care. And Madeline Louise are just like, it's party time USA at the rock concert. Let's go. We'll come back. You know, we'll meet some hot guys. That's not Paris.
I would venture to say deep down, she was respectful of Rory, that Rory invited her to this concert. And it was the right thing to do to stay and follow the rules that Lorelai had put in place.
It's a little bit of a role reversal, isn't it? It's trying to get on Rory's good side, trying to get on Lorelai's good side as well. Mm-hmm. You know, wishing she suddenly wanted to be part of that family. She wanted a sister. She needs a sister. Rory's going to be her sister. With Lorelai acting more and more like Emily Gilmore. Because that whole scene when she barged into the party and says, out of the way, Skippy, you know, come with me now. And your parents and I are going to talk and talk and talk and talk. And we're going to say so much to each other. We could be talking all night. That's Emily.
Because Lorelai's a good mom.
Yeah.
Don't you think that Lorelai is a good mother?
I think she's a great mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's winning me over each episode. I'm you know, I know I was very critical of her with the Max Medina thing, and I think I should have been. But I don't know what it's like to be in that situation, that young, having a child. I mean, I can't imagine having a child if I was 16 years old and I was a single dad and, you know, I was 32 and, you know, I didn't really, you know, and I lived for my kid and I was being a great dad and the whole thing, but there's a whole side of my life that is not present, which is, you know, the romantic side. And I had nobody else to lean on other than my son. And I saw some very attractive teacher who was very interested in me and was being very aggressive with me. I mean, how, you know, I don't know if I would have managed to fend that off either. You know, I think all reason goes out the window and extraordinary circumstances. That's probably one of them. So I'm going to go back in time and give him a free pass. Maybe a couple
she
of apologies.
She pulls off being the cool mom, meaning she's got the tickets to the Bengals.
Yeah.
She gives up her awesome seat so Rory can take all the girls. Like, she's the cool mom, but she's also, she's not the weird mom. She's still strict enough that she's the mom. Mm-hmm.
There's balance there. There's good balance there. And she did do it. That was a great move for her to do. Made me just fall in love with her more. You know, what a great move to do for your kid. Because that's what I do for my son. You know, I do the exact same thing. It's just about, you know, sacrifice, pushing them forward, getting them go over there, talk to those boys, you know, this get involved in that. Be more social, be more friends, have more friends, that kind of thing. So
right, and she's sitting up there at the top of Mount Everest when she and Suki were dying to go to the concert.
Right.
But she gives it up for Rory.
Yeah. And she managed to sit next to, and here's a nice little trivia, piece of trivia that very few people will know. You ready for this? You ready for this? I'm going to announce it right here, right now. One of the main writers, John Stevens from Gilmore Girls, who was Mr. Writer Room himself, Writer's Room himself, was sitting next to Lorelai, and he had a couple of lines. That was him.
Yes,
that was
no
John
way.
Stevens, and I think he even was an associate producer at some point. Very, very, very talented writer, and that was John.
I did do some research to figure out where they filmed the concert, which was on the Warner Brothers lot in the theater.
Yeah, they have a whole theater there. Yeah, so, but yeah, I thought the Bangles sounded great. Susanna Hoffs, great songwriter, great singer, you know, nice and easy, really groovy, but. Yeah, that episode really got going. It was really cooking there, and you know, I did enjoy the Luke stuff. I you know, the Rachel stuff with the Elle McPherson girl that dumped me and broke my heart. I thought back to New York City when I lived in New York and I was studying acting and doing theater and all that stuff, and you know, going out at night and meeting models and things like that, you know, just, it was, you know, so I knew what I was drawing from in those moments. When I saw that scene, I thought, oh yeah, I've been that guy. That's from experience.
Well, and it was such a major revelation to the audience and to Lorelai, like, wow. And how you went so just like bleep crazy over the sweatshirt. Oof.
Yeah, that was the big relationship that really rocked my world that I will never recover from.
Yeah, and it helps us with that timeline clarity because that was happening. The town knew, but Lorelai wasn't totally privy to all of it.
Right. Fun episode. I enjoyed watching it. It really was fun, and it was fun watching Paris melt and reveal a more vulnerable side. It was fun watching Lorelai really be in command of, you know, her mom engine was firing on all cylinders. It was great to watch. It really was.
Yeah, I like when Rory says to the girls, when they think it's so cool that Lorelai's so young, and Rory says, she's my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost think they're jealous. Mm-hmm. Or maybe not almost think. I think they are jealous.
Well, they can't even imagine it. They can't possibly imagine it. You remember when, I mean, whose mother was it? It was Paris's mother that visited her, that was at Chilton. Mm. And it was just, you could just sense the distance, you know, the generational difference between those two. I mean, they're just, I mean, it was like trying to get this very sensitive, insecure, very bright girl to, you know, to behave like someone in her generation, which is probably the same, you know, it's the same thing that Emily did to Lorelai. So, there, you know, there's some similarities all the way around here between Rory and, I mean, I'm sorry, between Paris and Lorelai and her own mother. And I mean, it's really intertwined, that behavior.
Did anyone pick up on the scene where they were talking about how they're 16 years old and that was the age that Lorelai had Rory? And they're all like, we're 16 years old.
Well, it just drives home the point deeper how extraordinary the situation is and how young they are to have a child. And it really makes us flash back to that time. You know, it puts us right there when Rory was born and Lorelai was one of those Chilton kids or, you know, that age.
Yeah.
My God. I mean, imagine Madeline having a baby. Imagine any of them having a baby. Imagine Rory having a baby. I mean, Rory would probably be a good mother too. She'd figure it out. You know,
it makes you admire Lorelai because you're like, wow, she really.
Yeah.
And she made her own money and she's raised this amazing kid and she's got this incredible group of friends.
Right.
And you realize like, wow, this could have gone another way.
Right. And she had to be, and she probably already did. She inherited from her mother and her father as a backbone made of iron. So that's inherited. And I think all the talky talk da 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 is just the mass consumption of coffee, because she's got a million things she's got to accomplish. She's, you know, she's got to get her kid off to school. She's got to wake up early. She's got to do her job. She's got to do this. She's got to do that. I mean, she's busy. She's busy 24/7 now, thinking ahead, planning ahead, you know, days, weeks, months, years. I mean, it's exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting.
So how do you think Lorelai felt finding out about Rachel? Because we know, I'd love to learn more from you what Luke felt. But what do you think Lorelai felt?
Well, Lorelai feels, you know, that now she's sort of considering. I think Lorelai is kind of on the fence. I think she feels a certain way about Luke, and that's undeniable, right? There's an attraction there, but is she going to act on it? And I think that's really the debate that's going on within her. Is this, you know, whereas she should have been having this debate with herself, with Max Medina, she's having this debate with Luke, because they are such friends and they've known each other a long time. And she goes there three times a day, sometimes, usually once, at least once a day. So it's a, you know, it's a real practical question, right? How she's going to, is she going to alter her schedule? She's going to alter her daily life. If that blows up, she won't be able to go to Luke's anymore. And it's like, so she's having that debate, but learning that he was with, you know, the Uber Fox girlfriend that was rode went to Pamplona, Spain, and ran with the bulls or whatever she did, wildlife photographer, and like jumped into volcanoes and did all rode bulls,
right?
Like, you know, dove into 100-foot cliffs into tiny little bodies of water. You know, just a wild woman. And I think Lorelai, yeah, she, and I think Suki nailed her. She was jealous, or yeah, she was measuring herself against this. And, you know, maybe that's why Luke doesn't make a move on me, because I'm not pretty enough and I'm not wild enough and, you know, that kind of thing.
I think, okay, yeah, you just made such a good point, because yeah, when they describe her as Elle McPherson,
right,
that's like, excuse me? Do you know what I mean? Like, huh? And you definitely think like, I can't compete with Elle McPherson.
And no, nobody can.
That was like, whoa.
Let me tell you something. I've met these people. I've been at parties with these people. You know, I've met several of these supermodels, and they are staggeringly, I mean, it's like, you can't, you're dumbfounded. You can't believe what you're seeing.
Yeah.
It's, they're so tall and so thin, and it's just like, what is going on over there?
Yeah. When I saw Jennifer Lopez in person for the first time, I was like, whoa, like it was weird. Like it was like, that's not normal.
Right.
It was almost like,
what was the whoa factor? Her face?
It was almost like she had like a light shining on her. It was really weird. Like you kind of do go like, oh wow, there is something about a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, oh my God, wow. Like, what's that?
Right.
She glows.
Yeah, oh, glows. Different. It's kind of the right, and it was like, ah, like angels were singing when she sort of walked through, and it was just like, what?
Mm-hmm. I met a 22-year-old Cindy Crawford one night in New York City on 12th Street outside of Peggy Sue's with a group of girls, and I was with my guy friends, and they came up, hey, what's up? And we all kind of knew each other, but nobody knew her. And, you know, we just stood there like a gaga, just like, what?
Yeah.
And we were aware of who she was. And she had just become a huge star, but my God, yeah, they're different. So Lorelai was,
yeah, there are certain people where it's just like,
yeah,
they take the air out of the room.
They
they're
do.
Like, whoa.
Yeah, they do. Yes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I guess Rachel was that, you know, mm-hmm, she was that.
Which is just like, can you imagine being Lorelai going, what? Like, right, you're telling me this girl was a supermodel?
Well, it definitely, you know, it really kind of solidified Luke's bona fides, I would say, as a man.
Yeah, it gave you a lot of cred.
It did, right? It kind of did. She's like, you know, now Lorelai's sitting back thinking, man, Luke's cooking with gas. You know what I'm saying?
Actually, that's so accurate. It took your stock up.
It did.
even though it probably terrified her. And she's like, how do I compete with that? At the same time, she's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, no, let's maybe get in the fight here. Let's get some attention.
That is so true.
This guy might have something going on behind the curtain. You know, what's happening there? So, and the fact is, and another thing that really solidifies his bona fides is he wouldn't move out of Stars Hollow for Elle McPherson. It's like he's still the grounded guy and simple guy, practical guy, you know, doing his business. He wasn't moving. So it's like that, you know, that's the double whammy for Lorelai.
Yeah.
Jesus, he's here. He's available. He told Elle McPherson no. What's happening there? She's curious.
Yeah, and obviously we're going to learn more about Rachel. This was not the only time we're going to learn about
Rachel. I had forgotten about this completely. I had no idea about Rachel. I just didn't know. Anyway, it's getting hot in here. Wow. I think I need to go cool off, man. So let's take a little break. We will be back after these messages. I'm Scott Patterson. This is I Am All In Podcast with iHeartRadio. We'll be back after these messages.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Okay, everybody, we're back. I'm Scott Patterson. This is the I Am All In podcast with iHeartRadio. We are talking Concert Interruptus, and I think we're going to get into the Bengals. What's going on with the Bengals concert, huh? Riley, Danielle, you know, what's going on with that? How did this come about?
Did you know who the Bengals were?
I know them for Manic Monday.
And I know them from Eternal Flame.
Oh, Eternal Flame. So you knew them. Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's in sync to me, but they're pretty awesome.
They had a string of hits, and they were unique in that it was an all-girl band when there weren't very many all-girl bands, but all-girl bands were starting to.
Yeah, it was like the Bangles and the Go-Go's.
Yeah. And there were some really great female acts that were just great songwriting. You know, Joan Jett, it wasn't an all-female band, but there were, you know, there were some prominent women that were just rocking the rock scene, man, at that time. So, yeah, the Bangles were great. Susanna Hoffs, great songwriter, great singer. Great songs. Really great songs.
And that was cool. It was, like, cool that they went to that concert.
Yeah. Yeah, they went to a concert. They went to a rock concert. I guess Amy is a fan of the Bangles and wanted them on the show, and maybe it was a way to get the lower rates on song usage.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like pretty smart.
You put them in.
You know? But yeah, that was fun stuff, and I thought they did, you know, they had an appropriate amount of extras, and it looked like a real audience and a real concert, and it was kind of cool, because those things are hard to pull off. I mean, concert stuff is hard to do, and they always look fake, and it always looks, you know, cheesy and bad. But
cheesy, yeah, it can look really cheesy.
Right.
And they had just the right amount where, like, you knew you were at the concert, you heard the songs, you saw them performing, but then it didn't ruin, like, the content of the episode.
Right.
Like, you still were like, oh, there's a lot going on
right
during this concert.
And plus, even the dialogue going back and forth between the intimate little important dialogue going on between Rory and Paris toward the end of that concert scene, the music was still kind of jamming, you know? It didn't get you out of rhythm. It's like everything stayed in rhythm, the music with the dialogue, with the emotional life of the scene. It was really wonderful. Good stuff. Difficult to put together, but they did a beautiful job.
All right. I mean, what else? What do we think from this whole episode?
I would call this Rory Rising.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would not say it's concert interruptus. I would say it's Rory Rising,
mm-hmm.
but in the right way, in an organic, positive, like, let we can be friends for life if you come on my path, mm-hmm. and stop judging me for my tiny house in Stars Hollow. It's a half an hour away from Hartford, and rummage sale bags everywhere. Don't judge me. We are quality people with big mm-hmm. hearts. And we have big futures as a result. So Rory Rising and Lorelai doing some nice heavy lifting.
So I know you said that this is like Rory Rising, but for me, this episode was all about Paris for me. Like, there was, you learned so much about her. She's like an onion. Once you think you know her, she surprises you with something else. You know, you think she's the mean girl from school, but then you really get to see why she's so mean and what's, like, missing from her life. And the one thing that I thought was really interesting is Rory was like, why do you like Tristan? He's so rude. And she was like, he's been through some stuff. And you now see that that's the correlation as to why she likes Tristan, because he has a troubled upbringing like she does. So she relates to him and likes that about him. So I'm just seeing more layers to Paris that I really, really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, this episode was all about her.
Mm-hmm.
Turning point. I think it was a turning point for Rory and Paris.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I think it's the cracks before the breakthroughs on a lot of things. I think it's the cracks or the breakthrough for their friendship for Rory and Paris. I think it's the crack that Lorelai has that jealousy for Luke. So maybe that will push her forward. I think it's a lot before the breakthrough.
Mm. Interesting. Yes, correct. Yeah. Good observation.
We also have to talk about Lorelai's cowboy hat, the green cowboy hat, and the sweater. There, like, that sweater had so much bedazzle going on.
That was
on.
The one that Luke was so upset about. And it really wasn't even that great of a sweatshirt, but man, and you were mad. Is that the maddest we've seen Luke?
No. No. When they were talking, when Suki was and Lorelai were at the counter talking about Max Medina, and oh, he's so dreamy, this kind of thing, and the Suki came behind the counter, he flipped. I don't think he's ever popped at anybody in the show like that. Maybe Taylor once in a while, but no.
Oh, yeah, you do get pretty mad at Taylor.
Yeah, but that was just, wow. Yeah. Anyway.
So Luke has two ticking points, the sweater and Max Medina.
Yeah, it's like Luke can get pissed.
Yeah.
Feisty? How would you describe it? Like, how do you describe sort of that reaction to the sweatshirt?
Just hurts. And he's confused. He doesn't know why she's wearing it. He probably thinks that she knows about Rachel and she's just wearing it to provoke him. And he can't understand why. He's not really thought it out, but he's just reacting.
You tried to get rid of it, though. You tried. You tried to get rid of it because you put it in the rummage sale stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did? Oh, right. But why is she wearing it?
Right. She took it.
And why did he take it back? I don't understand why he took it back.
Because she offered it and she was being really cool with him, you know?
And he wasn't ready to let it go. He tried. This is my take
on it. He tried.
That Luke tried to sort of get rid of it, like we all do, to sort of erase that memory of that person that we love. And then it shows up in his face. He's all hurt, which is a great way to describe it. And then he realizes, like, I'm just putting this back in the closet. I'm not ready.
So Lorelai is in, you know, in sync with him enough to realize that he's not ready to move on. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to help him move on, that he should keep it. Because the only thing that's going to help him move on is some Lorelai. Right? So that empowered her. The same way that Rory empowers Paris to get out of her thickets, her jungle, her emotional prison, her dungeon, you know. Interesting episode. Really, really, really interesting stuff.
And little fun fact before we do all the pop culture. Did you know Prince wrote Manic Monday?
I heard that. Yes. Now that you say that, I did. Yeah. You know, I go through the same process where I'll write a song and I know it's not right for me, you know, to perform. It's for somebody else.
I'm going to have to dig around on the internet and find Prince performing it somewhere. Oh, yeah.
And I think a lot of these people break through with their own careers after writing songs for other people for a long time. You know, they're just good at it. They're just great songwriters. And they're lucky enough to have other artists do their stuff.
What's your favorite Bengals song, Scott?
Oh, God. I'm not terribly well-versed in Bengals. Probably Walk Like an Egyptian because it was their biggest hit. And it's the thing I heard constantly on the radio.
I love Manic Monday and hate Walk Like an Egyptian.
But Walk Like an Egyptian was such a huge song that people, I mean, even me, we were imitating that sort of hieroglyphic Egyptian walk, which is so stupid. It's so silly, but it made people do it. And when that song came on, people would get on the freaking dance floor, you know, at the Ramada Inn or the Marriott, and they'd start doing the hieroglyphic Egyptian dance at these
like when
the
that
vases.
Thing came on at a wedding.
Oh,
at a
God.
Wedding, everyone's like, yeah.
It's hysterical. I mean, imagine awful. How, I mean, I bet you Susanna Hoffs was just laughing her butt off over the reaction of this song, Walk Like an Egyptian.
Oh my God.
I mean, I think Steve Martin used to do a...
he did King Tut.
He did King Tut.
And while you're all Googling John Hamm eggplant, I highly recommend Googling King Tut, Steve Martin.
Oh, God, the Steve Martin King Tut was hysterical. Oh, my God.
And every young person is right now Googling Elmer
Pearson.
Oh,
no, Steve Martin's King Tut video. Or at least I think he performed it on Saturday Night Live.
He did. Then he took it on tour. So when he did a stand up in the 70s.
Did he really? He took that on tour. He dressed like the Pharaoh and came out there and danced to the song.
That was like part of his act.
How crazy do you have to be to do that? I mean, what a brilliant.
Yeah, you can download King Tut on iTunes.
Oh, God. I'm doing it right after we get off here. I got to see
worth
this.
It.
Because I remember I think I saw it on Saturday Night Live and I'm like, this is just.
Yeah.
Brilliantly funny.
Riley, Danielle, do you have any idea what we're talking about?
I'm utterly confused. I'm not going to lie.
Can you please look up King Tut, Steve Martin? Like,
oh, no.
Is Steve Martin just the guy from Father of the Bride to you?
Yeah, or Cheaper by the Dozen.
No, he appeared on Johnny Carson and cracked Johnny Carson up. And then he started appearing on Saturday Night Live, hosting Saturday Night Live, because he became his stand-up act was filling... arenas.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was going around the world filling arenas with his stand-up act. He was the most sought after comedian in the world. And then he, you know, parlayed that obviously into a film career. And then Martin did a film called The Jerk, which is, it's the funniest thing you will ever see, with the opti grab. And the guy actually paid him his royalties. It's like such a fantasy.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Riley, this seems like the perfect moment for you to do your thing.
Yeah, let's jump into pop culture.
Let's do it.
So the first one we have, Luke brings over his rummage sale items, and Lorelai says, "Here, Grinch." The Grinch is based on the book by Dr. Seuss and has been recreated many times. The most notable version features Jim Carrey as the Grinch. The first round of makeup for the Grinch took 8.5 hours. The original Grinch was actually not green. He was black and white and had pink eyes. And the actors and extras who played the Who's in Whoville had to go to Who School.
I don't think Luke is grinchy. Grumpy, maybe, but not grinchy.
I beg to differ. He doesn't put up any of the decorations for any of the holidays or anything.
Danielle, whoa, watch your step there. Watch it. Watch it. He's a generous, big-hearted guy who goes out of his way for the people he loves. Give me a small break.
Santa burger and Rory's birthday with the special coffee cake and the balloons. Come on. He's not grinchy.
Grinchy. Right. That is not a
curmudgeon-y. What word would you use? Curmudgeon-y?
I would just say I'll give you the word. He's a little intense at times.
Caustic.
No. Don't use these words. These words have power.
Give us the word.
He's a little intense at times. Intense. That's it. Let's stop with the
fine. Moving heretofore, we will just say intense.
A little intense at times. That's it. There's no curmudgeon-y. He's not grinchy. He's not caustic. All of these words that do not apply to him. A little intense at times.
Is he what?
You know, maybe sometime we could.
It doesn't even sound like you.
You know, maybe sometimes.
How do we describe Luke?
A little intense at times.
Let's hear it again.
You know, maybe sometime we could.
I love it.
It sounds like he's begging. He's scared.
What's so weird is when you watch the scene, it's mm-hmm. perfect.
Right.
But when you isolate just right. that audio.
You take it out of context, it sounds like he's begging. And he's not. It was the perfect moment. He dropped it into perfect time. Listen, if he can get a Rachel, you know, he's got a couple of moves. He's got some moves.
He's a little intense at times, but.
But.
All right, Riley. Sorry, we got sidetracked.
It was the perfect sidetrack. And I have to say, Luke's heart grows 2 sizes bigger every time. Louise says, so how good of a kisser is Paul Bunyan anyway? And this is in reference to how tall Dean is. Paul Bunyan is a giant lumberjack and folk hero in American and Canadian folklore. When he was a baby, he was so big it took 5 storks to carry him to his home, and the Grand Canyon was formed when Paul dug his axe behind him while walking, according to all the folklore. Paris says, so unless you want to sit on no furniture while watching 3 Harvey Firestein impersonators rip up the carpet and paint everything a ridiculous shade of white and call it Angel's Kiss, then we're going to have to find somewhere at somebody else's house to go to.
I didn't quite get that. Carpet installers that are like Harvey Firestein? What the heck was that supposed to mean? Harvey Firestein is the furthest thing away from a carpet installer. So I'm struggling with this one, so please explain this.
Let's hear the line again.
Paris says, so unless you want to sit on no furniture while watching 3 Harvey Firestein impersonators rip up the carpet and paint everything a ridiculous shade of white and call it Angel's Kiss, and we're going to have to find somebody else's house to go to.
So I'm going with Paris's parents are getting divorced. Mm-hmm. So the mom is getting rid of everything and redecorating, and they're flamboyant designers.
Oh, they're not, but everything. They're not ripping up the car. Oh, they're ordering the mm-hmm. workers to rip up the car. Gotcha. So the mother is surrounded by fabulous artistic
yep.
Harvey Firestein types giving yep. orders to workers. Got it.
That's what I think.
Okay. No, that makes sense. That's the image.
Give it one more time, Riley, just for everybody listening.
So unless you want to sit on no furniture while watching 3 Harvey Firestein impersonators rip up the carpet and paint everything a ridiculous shade of white and call it Angel's Kiss, then we're yep. going to have to find somebody else's house to go to.
They're the designers. She's got 3 designers in the house.
So just add some dialogue there. Make it more specific. 3 Harvey Firestein impersonators ordering their underlings to rip up the carpet. Then I wouldn't have had a question. I would have been confused.
I still don't think so. I think it's 3 designers are tearing up the whole house.
Right.
We're going to have to take this to the social media to find out.
I can lodge an official complaint. Let's see.
Just because you're a little intense sometimes, don't.
So a little bit about Harvey Firestein. He is best known for his theater work in Torch Song Trilogy and Hairspray and movie roles in hits such as Mrs. Doubtfire Independence Day. Harvey voiced the character of Yao in Mulan, and he is said to have one of the most iconic voices in Hollywood due to its raspiness. Rory says, double, double toil and trouble when she's walking up with Lane up to Mrs. Kim's. And this quote is referenced to Shakespeare's Macbeth, but can also be recognized as the 1993 TV Halloween film featuring Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. The witches reciting this are saying that twice, meaning double, the amount of trouble will now be brought upon Macbeth. By the time this movie came out, Mary-Kate and Ashley had been acting since they were 8 months old.
Wait a minute, how do you take direction from a director at 8 months old? You're not aware that you're acting, so babies don't act. They just are.
Those Olsen twins nailed it on Full House.
But it's like they weren't nailing it. They were just like being babies and the camera was on them. They weren't aware that they were embodying a character, you know.
Well, then whoever captured those moments deserves the credit.
You can't take credit from a baby and say that you wrote this brilliant role for a baby. Babies don't memorize dialogue. They don't, you know. Anyway, go ahead, Riley. Sorry, I just, another official complaint. I am lodging with the Academy.
He's just a little intense sometimes. He's just a little intense sometimes.
No, they appeared in film and television since they were 8. You could say that I started out doing commercial voiceover work when I was 5 years old, because that's the truth, with Habersett Sausage and Scrapple in the Philadelphia area. It's a true story.
Please tell us what the sausage commercial was.
Oh, I can't. We just, you know, my sister and I, we were, you know, she was a
year
old.
Does anyone have it on like a VHS?
My dad was an advertising guy. And his buddy that lived in down the street had the Habersett Sausage and Scrapple account. And he asked my dad if my sister and myself would please, because I guess we had cute little voices and at 5 and she was 6. And we did it in his basement.
Did you get a couple bucks for that sausage or?
I certainly didn't. I think my dad probably banked it and, you know, bought himself a new pair of golf clubs or something. I don't know. I never saw
the start of your career.
Yes.
Rory says, the one on your head, Annie Oakley, commenting on Lorelai's leopard, not sure if purchased, hat from the rummage sale. Annie Oakley was an American sharpshooter who starred in Buffalo Bill's Wild West show. Oakley developed hunting skills as a child to provide for her family in Western Ohio. She actually outgunned professional sharpshooter Frank Butler, and then married him a year later.
Come on. She outgunned Frank Butler?
Good old
really?
Frank. Mm-hmm.
Come on. I don't believe that. My God.
I love the leopard. There's a lot of animal print in Gilmore Girls, and I am here for it.
Rory says, this stuff is like Tribbles when she's trying to pull Suki out of the rummage sale items. Tribbles are a fictional alien species in the Star Trek universe. We first see the Tribbles in the episode The Trouble with Tribbles. These small, plush alien beings were merely sewn-up pouches of synthetic fur stuffed with foam rubber. There were so many Tribbles on set, it took about 2 weeks to get all the Tribbles off the set.
I love that episode. Also worth going onto the YouTube and watching.
Luis says, are you two still Joni Loves Chachi? When asking about Dean.
Didn't watch it. I mean, I knew.
What about Happy Days?
Yeah, no, Happy Days. Everybody watched Happy Days. But then they gave that girl her own show, right?
Yes. Joni Loves Chachi.
And then they hire Scott Baio, right?
Exactly.
I know that much, but I never watched it.
No one did. That's why it got canceled after like 5 episodes. But
so okay.
Joni Loves Chachi really started on Happy Days because Chachi was like the young cousin of the Fonz, and he always had the crush on Joni, and she was just like, no, kid. And then all of a sudden, Scott Baio turned hot, and Joni was into it.
Oh, so he was like the Jess.
He was a little Jess-like. That's actually not a terrible comparison, except that...
Because Luke is kind of like the Fonz.
Like, Chachi was sort of the young...
Yeah.
He was too young at first for her.
Yeah. So I'm playing pro ball at that time. Can you imagine, like, on the team bus? Guys, did you see the latest episode of Joni Loves Chachi? It was amazing.
Next pop culture. Paris says, and before it's dark, they'll have every picnic basket that's in Jellystone Park. This is a lyric to the 1958 TV series theme song for Yogi Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Since his creation in 1958, Yogi has appeared in over 20 TV shows and movies. So the full lyric is, he will sleep till noon, and before it's dark, they'll have every picnic basket that's in Jellystone Park.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Paris making a reference to say that Luis and Madeline will get the boys behind them at the concert before the concert's over.
The boys were the picnic baskets. What was that? What was that cartoon from? Was that the Jellystone Park? What was that?
Yogi Bear.
Yeah, Yogi Bear was, you know, the probably the first cartoon I ever saw besides, you know, the Looney Tunes stuff. You know, back then it was all the Jetsons. It was Yogi Bear. Yeah.
Lorelai. So she was Wonder Woman when we're talking about Rachel. So we've covered this a little bit, but we've talked about Wonder Woman. We need to talk about Wonder Woman a little bit more. So in the 70s version, Lyle Waggoner starred as Steve Trevor and is also known to be the creator of the Star Wagon. The trailers that the little studio lots and sets for actors and actresses to do their makeup, wardrobe, and more.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, did you have a Star Wagon?
Yeah, everybody does. It's what everybody uses.
Scott, tell us about your trailer on Gilmore Girls. Like, just tell us about it. That would be something I'd like to know.
So, okay, so there's different sizes of trailers, and that kind of lets you know where you are in the business and on any particular show. So I started off with a half a trailer. They call it a double banger. So there's two, and they're nice, and they have sinks, and they have TVs, and they've got a couch, and but they're, you know, they're tight for, you know, I'm you know, most actors are kind of small, and I'm, you know, I'm 6'1", and, you know, I need a little more space. So after season three, I wanted to get a bigger trailer, so I negotiated for a bigger trailer. So I got a whole full trailer. So they have, it's not like they have bedrooms in them, but they have, you know, they have couches, and you can, I think you can pull out the couch and sleep on it. But I would just sleep on the couch because the couch is really comfortable. And they have little kitchens, and they have little
toilet.
Oh, well, sure. They have showers too. Yeah.
Shower. I didn't
yep,
know.
They have a shower.
Who was your trailer next to?
God, who was it next to? My trailer was right across from Lauren's and Alexis's. I mean, I could open my door and say, "Howdy, neighbor, what's up?" You know, and their door was right there. So our doors, when I opened my door up, they almost hit. So when we'd all come out at the same time, we'd almost like fall down the stairs together of our trailers because our doors hit. You know, real estate over there is very coveted. So there's not a lot of space for trailers. And so they want to try to keep the trailers as small as possible. But you know, when you see these like humongous trailers that are not even Star Wagons, they're like, they look like they're from Europe and they're huge.
Simon Cowell.
I mean, when you know that there are movie stars like on the set, like when Ocean's
Will
11.
Smith.
Yes, yes. So those levels, trailers, that's a whole different experience. Those are like small homes.
So
right?
Does no one have a dressing room, like what we would call a dressing room, like in the inside? Everybody has a trailer.
No, I think in sitcoms they do that because then they have the dressing rooms on the soundstage.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how they do it. But I think they're going, I mean, some have trailers, but I'll tell you, when they were doing Ocean's 11s and they were setting up Clooney and Pacino and Brad Pitt's trailers right across the street from my trailer, those trailers were at least double the size of mine. And they were a different color and they had better quality glass. And it was just like, what? It's those guys. And those guys have bedrooms and those things. Those are huge. But having a full Star Wagon is a good thing. It means you're a series regular.
And Chris Pine plays Lyle Waggoner's character Steve Trevor in the 2020 film of Wonder Woman. And we have a pop culture reference for Star Trek as well, which Chris Pine also starred in.
Wow, Riley. Mm. Wow.
Mm.
Bringing it today.
Look at you. And Riley, what's your favorite line?
My favorite line is from Mrs. Kim. She says, "Not new. Nothing's new. Whole store is old."
Danielle?
My favorite is, "Okay, let's go make our noses bleed" at the concert.
Okay. Amy?
Mine's a bit long. "Hey, was Rachel pretty? What? I'm just curious. Was she pretty? She was pretty. Like, what kind of pretty? What do you mean, what kind of pretty? I mean, like, was she a Catherine Zeta-Jones kind of pretty or a Michelle Pfeiffer-y pretty or... She was an Elle McPherson kind of pretty." "Really? Yep. That's an intense kind of pretty."
Hey, Amy, have you heard the expression "brevity is the soul of wit"? Have you heard that one?
I also liked when Paris, and I'm paraphrasing, when Paris said, "This is the best night of my life."
All right. Can we stop screwing around here and get to the actual best line of the episode, which I am about to And let me see if I can get this right. What did she say? Okay, so when Lorelai was and Suki were hunting the New York apartment building around the corner from the concert hall, and they were knocking on doors. There was a woman who opened the door, who said, "What did she say?" Two lines, and it just was the funniest thing. She says, "I don't talk to anyone. People annoy me." Slam. that was gold.
Good.
That was gold. For me. Thank you.
The required reading for this show, we have Macbeth, Act 4, Scene 1. And this is when Rory quotes the double, double toil and trouble. And then we have Something Wicked This Way Comes by Ray Bradbury.
What's next week? What are we watching?
Yeah, what is next week?
You know, maybe sometime we could.
I'll never go away.
What's like me trying to find the accent for the character? Maybe sometime we can. Didn't quite stick, did it?
What's episode 14?
The Damn Donna Reed.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, what is it? That has big meaning for you?
Yeah, because I know something that's coming very soon, and I am excited.
Mm. You're not going to tell
us? Very excited. No. No, because you need to watch. Because you, I don't want to ruin it. I want to hear your reaction.
If anybody listening right now, and everybody listening, doesn't think that this is like totally legit, you're wrong. Because they don't tell me anything, man. I gotta watch. I gotta earn the knowledge by watching the episodes, and I haven't seen the episodes.
Yeah, I will admit I snuck ahead the next two because of something major coming, mm-hmm. and I will tell you soon.
If you are worthy, if you do your prescribed work, man, it's tough.
He's just a little intense sometimes.
He's a little intense at times, not sometimes. At times.
At times. Pardon me.
He's a little intense infrequently.
Once in a blue moon?
Yeah, once in a blue moon. Yeah. All right, guys, that was fun. Concert Interruptus. Wow. Wow, wow. This was telling in so many ways. And this really pushes the story forward, these narratives and these storylines forward in really, really interesting, entertaining, and humorous ways. What a show. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for downloading, everybody, the best fans on planet Earth and maybe even beyond, because y'all are out of this world. Thank you very much. I am Scott Patterson, and this is the I Am All In podcast with iHeartRadio. We'll see you next time. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at I Am All In Podcast and email us at gilmore@iheartradio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, scottyp.com, scottyp.com, scottyp.com. Grade one specialty coffee.
Awesomer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.